you have your Bibles, turn to the book of John. Turn to the book of John. They're calling for a storm to roll in here a little after 1 o'clock, so I'll try to be done by 5 minutes to 1. I'm glad somebody thought that was funny. I did get some looks just now. Amen. Amen. Go over to the end of the book of John for just a moment with me, please. Can I just stop and say something? Everybody look at me. I love you. Tell somebody that's not your wife or not kin to you right quickly. Say, brother, I love you. I appreciate you. Your sister, turn to them. Amen. 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 I appreciate you this morning. How many believe when God saves us, he puts a love down in our heart? A love for the Scripture. A love for the saints. A love for sinners. Amen. I believe that. And I appreciate that. John chapter 21. I can't do this in church. I used to do it in prison all the time. I'd have the guys to look at each other, look at the guy next to themselves, and I'd say, repeat after me. I'd say, I'm so glad. They'd say, I'm so glad. I'd say, I'm not. They'd say, I'm not. I'd say, as ugly as you are. That won't work in church, amen. We got the pretty ladies with us. We can't do that, amen. I told somebody a while back, I feel sorry for people who can't tell the difference between a man and a woman. For me, it's always been easy. Woman pretty, man ugly. Amen. I believe God made it that way. I see some ladies shaking their head up and down. What'd you marry an ugly man for then? Amen. 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 I know, ladies, he's not ugly to you. Thank God that us men fooled at least one woman. Amen. That's good. John chapter 21. The Bible said in verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Drop back to John chapter 20, and read a verse there. And the Word of God said in verse number 30, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now go to John chapter 5 with me, please. John chapter 5, we were in chapter 5 on Wednesday night. I want to come on down tonight or this morning and tonight through chapter number 5. The Bible said in verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Look at verse 24. This is where our text is going to come from today. The Bible said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. How many is glad you heard his word? And believeth on him that sent me. How many is glad you believed on him that sent Jesus? Believed on the Father. The Bible said, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. They that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. What we're going to be looking at in the chapter, first of all, we're going to be looking at the security of our life. The second thing we're going to look at is the secret of our labor. We won't be into that, I don't believe, till this evening. And then the next thing we're going to look at is the source of our light. And then we're going to look at the spirit of our love. But this morning, I want to begin, the message would be entitled, That You Might Believe, looking at the security of our life. Look at verse number 24 once again. Jesus said, verily, verily. How many knows what that means in the Word of God when he says that? It means truly, truly. That's exactly what it means. The Bible said that it's impossible for God to lie. How many believes that Jesus is just as much God as the Father and just as much God as the Holy Spirit? Amen. It's impossible for God to lie. I want to preface the message today by saying this. I am not here today to offend anyone, and I mean that. Just a few Sundays back, I preached, and I left here. And Brother John, you got it right this morning in Sunday school, brother. We have to be careful. Jesus said it's better to have a millstone hung around your neck and cast into the bottom of the sea than to offend one of these, my brethren. Amen. The least of these. But let me just say this to you. I'm needing to preface this because I believe it's important to preface it. I came across this in the Word of God just preaching through the book of John. Had I been just reading this in my daily reading or something like that, I might not be preaching what I'm preaching this morning. But I'm going to tell you this. God gave me a backbone a long time ago. I am going to stand for what I believe this book teaches. And a little while back, I was preaching and I had been in a man's home, a man that I loved dearly. And that man told me that he's not been baptized by immersion. Now listen to me carefully. And yet God put it in my heart. I can't remember how it even came out in the message, but it was not pointed. It was not aimed. But this preacher believes that that's what the Bible teaches in baptism, that it means to go under the water. And it's not talking about infant baptism of sprinkling or sprinkling somebody else. It means to be buried with him in baptism. I want to say this. I went home and just wondering, oh God, but I was glad to find out that that man was not offended. Amen. I thank God. The Bible said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What that means is, listen, not that we'll never be offended, but it means if it comes out of this book, it will never offend us. Amen. If we love the law, if we love the Word of God. And so I want to ask a question this morning, and let me preface it like this. Years ago, my grandfather would preach in a Methodist church and a Baptist church, and you couldn't tell the difference. Not many back in those days believed in the security of the believer. I want to ask this question. How many of you right now at one time in your life or even currently do not believe, at one time in your life you did not believe in the security of the believer because of what you I know there's one man here, Brother Ralph, you told me. You told me about your ordeal with Brother Jack, amen? But I'd like for you to stand right now if there was a time in your life when you did not understand the security of the believer. Okay, there's some right there. How many of you all, listen, at that time in your life, listen to me carefully. How many of you all were amongst a bunch of people that loved God and you knew they loved God? So I'm not here to say that if a person, thank you, you can be seated. I'm not here to say that if a person does not believe that they don't love God or that they're not saved. I believe that's wrong. I believe that's as wrong can be. But I am here to say this morning. I believe God put this in the Bible to help us. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath. How many believes the word hath means right now? You have right now. What kind of life? Everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The Bible talks about, listen, here, the Bible said in verse 26, the Father hath life in himself. He hath given to the Son to have life in himself, who also made us, in 2 Corinthians 3:6, able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So we have examples in the Word of God where there's life in the Father, there's life in the Son, and there's life in the Holy Spirit. Can we agree with that right there? Now listen, the Bible never did say to me, as a sinner or a saint, that I have life in myself. The Father has life in himself. The Spirit has life in himself. The Son has life in himself. And that life is eternal. I need to say this morning. Brother Aaron, I don't know how many years ago, but over a year, I know we got acquainted with Brother Aaron and his family. Brother Aaron pastored a Free Will Baptist Church. And one of the best friends I've ever had in this world was a Free Will Baptist. He and I had many conversations. We worked together in Marion, Virginia. His name was Harvey Farmer. And if Harvey was standing right here today, he would tell you that he loves me and that he believes with all of his heart that I love him. I believe that. I believe if ever there was a man that loved God and loved his family and loved the Word of God, he was a Sunday school teacher. He loved the Word of God. But I'm not going to fall out with people over it. But I have to address what God wants me to address in the Word of God. Does that make any sense to you? And I hope that I can be a help. But I went and had lunch with Brother Aaron because I didn't believe that Brother Aaron, number one, would join our church if he believed free will doctrine as far as you can lose your salvation after that you get saved. So we went and had lunch together and we sat down and I started talking to him. I had it in my heart to ask him about working with the kids. And I started talking to him. And Brother Aaron, I said, Brother Aaron, I was going to give him some of the things that I'm going to give you this morning. But he cut me off. He said, Preacher, you ain't got nothing to worry about. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he said, here's what God showed me. I never heard this before in my life. He said, when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, he said, it never will be a caterpillar again. That's what he said. I never had heard that in my life. He said, when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, he said, it never will be a caterpillar again. We went on. I said, Brother Aaron, I've never heard that. We went on and we talked about some things. I was visiting in Churchill, Tennessee, not long after I became pastor of Liberty Baptist Church. I knocked on a door. Lady told me, she said, I go to the First Free Will Baptist Church. She said, Preacher, you chewing out free will? Honey, they're not the only ones that don't believe this. There are more people that don't believe what I'm going to preach today than do believe what I'm going to preach today. I'm not throwing any stones at anybody. I'm just telling you some stories in my life. This lady said, I go to First Free Will. And by the way, my daughter goes there today. And my son-in-law goes there today. Two of my grandchildren go there today. You think I'm throwing stones? Oh, no. But I asked this lady, I said, ma'am, I said, I've noticed that down through the years, sometimes a Free Will Baptist church, they've got the name, but they're not holding on to that doctrine. I said, what is it that you all preach and teach at your church? And she looked at me, she grinned. She said, we just don't talk about it. Let me ask you something. If it's in the Word of God, how many believes we're to talk about it? That's what I believe. I believe we're to talk about it. I believe we ought to be willing, beloved, listen, to share. Now listen, I understand, and I want to say some things. First of all, without a doubt, there are some difficult passages in the Word of God. How many believes that? Hebrews 6 is one of them. You can go study after different men that's got a lot more brains than I got, beloved, and I'm telling you, you can get about as many different opinions as you get different men looking at Hebrews chapter number 6. But I'm going to make a statement this morning that we always need to remember about difficult passages in the Word of God. I wrote this down last night because I knew I couldn't remember it. Difficult passages should never be used against the clear teaching of another passage of Scripture. The Word of God said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If that were the case, if you took a difficult scripture, and it happens all the time, people do it to prove speaking in tongues. Am I right? People do it to prove all kinds of things. But listen, if you take scripture that's not clear, and you're going to take that over scripture that is clear, then there's going to be a problem in the Word of God. And you say, Preacher, I don't understand what you mean. Well, notice what the Bible says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, that's right now, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Let me give you an example of a difficult scripture, or some that believe this and they use this. Galatians chapter 5. He said, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Now listen to me carefully. I believe if you read that right there, you say, well, it's certainly possible for someone to fall from grace. That's where that phrase comes from. You're fallen from grace. He said, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now let me ask you a question. How many believes that's in the Bible? You either are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Did I just read that from the book of Galatians? Now let me ask you this question. How many people in this world are justified by the law? How many? By the works of the flesh shall no man be justified. There's no man justified by the law. The Bible said Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now listen, we're going to go a little further. There's some examples of people in the Bible that, as far as I'm concerned, I don't believe God has any mistakes. John Dockery is my witness. John will tell you, I had no idea, number one, until this morning that he was teaching Sunday school this morning, and number two, had no idea what he was teaching. Brian sent me a text early and said, Brother John, I'm going to rest, and Brother John's filling in for me. Had no idea what Brother John was, but I knew that when I was sitting there, listen to me carefully, I knew that God was not going to let me go another direction, that I had to get up and just go the direction that God had put in my heart. Then Brother Kenny stands up in the back of the church and testifies. And this is written down on my notes. Some examples of people that should have been presented in risk of losing their salvation if it was possible. Number one was David. David committed adultery. David lusted. Is that right or is that wrong? David, beloved, listen, had Uriah killed. He was guilty of murder. David did not look like a child of God for a period of time in his life that was about a year or a little bit better. If ever there was a man that needed another dose of salvation, it would have been David. But David in Psalm 51, when he repented, did not ask God to save him. He asked God to give him his joy back. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And he said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Another example in the Bible. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. If ever there was a man, if ever I can see in the Bible that there was a man that should have been declared in trouble with God, lost without God, it would be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1 through verse number 5. I'm looking it up. Let's look here together and read it together. This is terrible, terrible. The Bible said it's reported commonly. Paul's talking to the church of Corinth that there's fornication among you. Y'all understand that's terrible. But it gets worse. Watch what the Bible said. And such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles. He said that one should have his father's wife. Here is a man that is sleeping with his stepmother. And the Bible said, you're puffed up. And you're not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. In other words, in your pride, you're not dealing with this sin. That's what Paul is telling the church of Corinth. Now watch with me. The Bible said, for verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan, listen, for the destruction of the flesh. Does everybody read that? How many believes there is a sin unto death? How many believes that if somebody belongs to God, they will be chastened? Amen. If they get out in sin, the Bible said, whom he loveth, he chasteneth. You know, you say, preacher, I can do whatever I want to, and he don't never chasten me. Then you're a bastard, not a son. That's what the Word of God teaches. You've never been born again if you can do whatever you want to. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm getting ahead of myself. In Christ. There's two kinds of people in the world. Those that are in Christ and those that are in trouble. The Word of God said this. He didn't come to condemn the world. But he came that we might be saved. Because he that believeth not is condemned already. You say, preacher, you ought to be saying it like this. If a man's not in Christ, he's headed for trouble. No, sir. If a man's not in Christ, he's already in trouble. He's already in trouble. He's already condemned. Now listen to what the Bible said here. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Notice this. That the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. Listen to me carefully, beloved. That's a Bible example that I'm giving you, that if ever there was a man that ought to have been thrown right off into hell, it was that man and the sin that he was committing. Watch this now. Go with me to the book of Hebrews for just a moment, would you please? Hebrews chapter number 10. I need your prayers this morning. I believe that and I, with all of my heart. I know this morning that I, listen, years ago in a church like ours, this was preached every other Sunday. How many knows I'm telling it right? Amen. But listen to me. I'm not preaching something just to be preaching it. I'm preaching it because it come right in the line of where we're at in the Scripture. The Bible said that you might believe. Amen. And I believe, listen, that I would be a coward to go around it when God said go through it. Watch what the Bible said here in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's begin reading in verse number 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. How many believes that? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Watch this now. Look at verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Listen to me carefully, beloved. If we don't read this in its context, and we don't read this in the light of Scriptures that are clear concerning eternal life, everlasting life, and the security of the born-again believer, then, beloved, we'll get in trouble. Watch it now. He said, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, it shall devour our adversary, the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. I'm telling you, beloved, this Bible is full of warnings. It's full of warnings. I don't believe that if it was not possible for a believer to go backwards, so to speak, or to sin, so to speak, or to get in a mess, so to speak, I don't believe it would be so full of warnings. But Paul knew, and God knew, that, beloved, we needed to be warned as God's people. Now watch this. I've never seen this before. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall, what's that say? What's he say? Does he say he'll judge the devil's people? Says he'll judge his people. Beloved, my daddy never did go down the street and whoop somebody else's son, but he done a good job on his own. Help me. I didn't understand it. I'm like Brother Mays Jackson. He said, my daddy'd say, son, this is hurting me worse than it is in you, and then it is you. And Brother Mays would say, I thought, my God, somebody's got their signals mixed up. When daddy was whooping me and telling me that he loved me, I didn't understand that. And I'm glad I've had an experience with another father. And I can understand that. Watch this now. But call to remembrance the former days in which you were illuminated. You endured a great flight of affliction, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you become companions of them that were so used. But watch this now. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that in heaven you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. He said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise for yet a little while. Brother John, you were talking about that this morning. He that shall come, and will not tarry. Now watch this. We're talking about our faith. We're talking about these things are written in the book of John that you might believe. Now the just shall live, say it, but if any man draw back, so is it possible to draw back? The answer is yes. What happens when a man draws back? He's looking for a fearful judgment of God in his life. Watch this now. If any man draw back, he said, my soul shall have no pleasure of him. Here's an important word in the Word of God. But, how many believe that last verse is there for a reason? But, he just gave us a whole list of things. He said, but We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I just want to tell you this morning, I believe a man can draw back. I believe a man can get in a mess. If that man's been born again, the judgment chastening hand of God's going to come down in his life. And if he will not repent, God will take him out of this world. The Bible said there's a sin unto death. Many times. People say, preacher, if I believe what you believe, I'd just go live like hell. You ever meet Jesus, the want to live like hell will get out of you. And the want to live for God will get in you. The love of God will be set abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Harry Ironside stated this. Watch this. He stated that salvation was like Noah inviting a pagan in his day to place his trust in God's word and come into the ark. Some view salvation like Noah offering to put a peg on the outside of the ark. If you just hang on through the storm, you'll be saved, depending upon our holding on to God, but our being securely. Salvation is not dependent upon our holding on to God, but on our being securely held by and in Christ. Listen to me. God told Noah, come thou in. Where did that make God? Where was God when he said to Noah, come thou in? He didn't tell him to go in. He said, come thou in. That put God on the inside of the ark. He said, come in. Who shut the door? Can I tell you something? He's going to shut the door again one day. There's going to be a door that's going to slam shut. And I'm telling you, people that are without Christ are going to die without Christ. Because God will shut the door. Listen to me carefully. I believe this is important. In Christ, the Word of God said over there in the book of John. Look at it with me. John chapter number 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, I cannot believe what time it is. I just looked up at the clock. I cannot believe what time it is. Oh, this morning, I'd rather be dead than to offend anybody. That's the truth. But I need to live in such a way that I realize I can offend my Father as well. I have a responsibility, that's the word you use, Brother John, to my Father. A responsibility to His Word. I want to back up just a minute. Had Brother Aaron said to me that day, listen, brother, you know I don't believe that. And far as I know, I never will believe that. How many of you all know me well enough to know that I still love that boy? How many love me well enough to know I'd still love his children, his precious wife? But how many of y'all know me well enough to know that he wouldn't be over there teaching our children this morning? Amen. Listen to me this morning. This is important. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you. Let me just give you a couple of verses of Scripture real quick. The Bible said, now he which establisheth you with us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Watch this now. For as in Adam all die, every one of us was brought into this world in Adam. In Adam all die. Even so, listen to these two words, in Christ shall all be made alive. Two kinds of people in the world. Those that are still in Adam and those that are in Christ. The ones that are still in Adam are in trouble. The ones that are in Christ have everlasting life. Let me just give you some things. I'm skipping so much. Just give you some things. I like to talk to people like this. Somebody answer me, what is the gift of God? If you know the answer for sure, answer me or raise your hand and answer me. What is the gift of God? What is it, Sam?
Eternal life.
Eternal life, according to the Bible, through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now let me ask you this question. When, please think about this for a moment. When does an individual receive the gift of God? Would somebody like to raise your hand and answer that question? Yes, sir. I'm sorry? The day Jesus. When you said he, you're talking about Jesus, right, Andrew? The day he comes into your life. I believe that. The Bible said over there in 1 John 5, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You say, preacher, it cannot be that simple. Listen, when you're talking about salvation, honey, it's what you do with Jesus. When you're talking about sanctification, that's a whole different story. When you're talking about service, that's a whole different story. When you're talking about redemption, that's being in Christ. When you're talking about reward, that's what you do for Christ. After that, he puts you in Christ. Let me give you something. I meant to go down through a lot of these verses, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to skip that. I really want to get us out of here at a decent hour because of the storm that's approaching. The Bible talks about, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in the Baptist church, which is in, this is 2 Timothy 1:13, which is in the Catholic church, which is in the Presbyterian church, which is in the Methodist church. No, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Therefore, he said, I endure all things, 2 Timothy 2:10, for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. 2 Timothy 3:15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's why John was written, that our faith might be in Christ Jesus. What is the gift of God? Eternal life. When does a person receive the gift of God? I'll tell you when. When they're born again. When they trust Christ. When they have Jesus as their Savior. Now let me ask you this. Turn to Romans chapter 8. While you're turning there, let me ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. Please, bear with me a moment. If anything, or anybody, and I got scripture for that, if anything or anybody were to ever interrupt, my question is this, was it eternal to start with? The gift of God is? The Bible calls it everlasting life. Brother Ralph, I believe Brother Jack used that on you, didn't he, brother? You kind of butted heads with him a little bit over that, and he told you to go home and notice every time the Bible said everlasting or eternal. Is that right, brother? I think that's what you told me. You listen to me. If you think I'm preaching a license to sin, you haven't been listening to me preach. Nowhere in this Bible, Paul said, shall we sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. I'm going to tell you something right now. If my daddy's standing there and he's already got his belt out of his britches, I'm not much interested in disobedience. You say, preacher, will God take you to the woodshed? Oh, yes, he will. And he'll keep you a while if he has to. There's sometimes God won't get his belt out. Sometimes God will make us plumb ashamed of ourselves by smothering us with his love. Yeah, how many believes that? My daughter, I ain't got time to tell the whole story, but she lied on her mommy about some whipped cream and some other girls one night. Eve told him not to do it till the next day. We go to bed. Elizabeth told Charity and the other girls. Mom said she changed her mind before she went to bed. Let's go ahead and do it. We get up the next morning. First thing that Charity says was, we had a ball with that whipped cream last night, Daddy. So we got a hold of Elizabeth and we said, what happened? She said, well, Elizabeth said Mommy changed her mind. So that night, years ago, let me just say this. If we got any sense at all, we'll learn a little bit about parenting along the way. I'm telling you, there was a time in my life, Brother Randall, when I'd have told those two girls that were visiting, call your parents. How many knows what I'm talking about? But I didn't do that. I just looked at Elizabeth in front of everybody, in front of Charity, in front of the other girls. I said, honey, we'll deal with this when your friends go home this evening. She got to live all day with that. We went in the bedroom. I said, honey, do you know what you done? She said, yeah, Daddy, I lied. I think she was 8 years old, wasn't she, Miss Eve? 7 or 8? Yeah, Daddy, I lied. I said, honey, you didn't just lie. You lied on your mama. You said mama said something mama didn't say. I said, you're going to have to apologize to at least a couple of people. Who, Daddy? I said, you're going to have to apologize to your mama. And I said, you're going to have to apologize to Jesus. I said, you can do that right now. See you right now? Yep. I said, you lied out loud. I said, you can talk to Jesus. She said, out loud? I said, yep, you lied out loud. Just go ahead and talk to Jesus. So she starts praying. Oh, dear Lord, dear Lord, I've been taught better than this. I know better. I'm so sorry I lied. And God, help me. Whatever Daddy decides to do, to accept it. Like she had a choice. But Sister Cindy, I'm doing my best not to crack up laughing when she said that. But I told my daughter this. We got done. We prayed. I gave her a hug. I said, honey, you know what? I believe you've learned your lesson. I have, Daddy. I have. I said, but just in case you haven't, I said, let Daddy say something to you. I said, I catch you lying again. And I said, I'm not going to whoop you. And she got a look of relief on her face. I said, I'm going to wear you out. She went and apologized to her mom. How many believes our sin will find us out? I'm glad, let me just say this publicly. I'm glad it don't always find us out publicly. How many's glad of that? But I am glad that when my father knew me before I was saved, he still loved me. And he knew me. Brother Charles Long said one time, he said God knew what kind of, I'm trying to get this right. It was one or the other. Either he said one or the other, I said one or the other. I can't remember for sure. I believe Brother Charles said God knew what kind of Christian I was going to be, and he saved me anyway. Think about that. And I was sitting there on the bench, and I believe this is the way it went, but the thought went through my mind, God knew what kind of preacher I was going to be, and he called me anyway. Amen. Honey, the Bible is teaching us here that he gives us eternal life. Listen to John 17:11. Jesus said, now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those which thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Watch this. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Let me give you a couple things, and I'm going to hurry to a close. A group of botanists went on an expedition into a hard-to-reach location in the Alps, searching for new varieties of flowers. One day, as a scientist looked through his binoculars, he saw a beautiful, rare species growing at the bottom of a deep ravine. To reach it, somebody would have to be lowered into the gorge. Noticing a local youngster standing nearby, the man asked him if he would help them get the flower. The boy was told that a rope would be tied around his waist and the men would then lower him to the floor of the canyon. He was excited, but he was apprehensive about the adventure. And the youngster peered thoughtfully into the chasm, the valley below. Wait, he said, I'll be back. Off he dashed. When he returned, he was accompanied by an older man. Approaching the head botanist, the boy said, "I'll go over the cliff now, and I'll get the flower for you. But this man must hold the rope. He's my dad." Jesus said, listen to me carefully, John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." He said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Can I say this to you this morning? He's got the rope, and he's my dad, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." By going to heaven, it's not dependent on what I do on this end of the rope. It's dependent on what he does on that end. That's why the Bible said, "Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto," can anybody tell me the next words? "The day of redemption." You say, "Preacher, why are we only sealed to the day of redemption?" Because then, Brother John, that rotten part of us, I like the song, Brother Ralph, it says this, "Robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize." We're going to be like Jesus. Ain't that going to be a blessing? F.B. Meyer wrote about two Germans who wanted to climb the Matterhorn. They hired three guides and began their ascent at the steepest and the most slippery part. The men roped themselves together in this order, guide, traveler, guide, traveler, guide. They had gone only a little way up the side when the last man lost his footing. He was held up temporarily by the other four because each had a toehold in the niches that they had cut in the ice. But when the next man slipped, he pulled down the two men above him. The only one to stand firm was the first guide, who had driven a spike deep into the ice. Because he held his ground, all the men beneath him regained their footing. F.B. Meyer concluded his story by drawing a spiritual application. He said, "I am like one of those men who slipped, but thank God I am bound in a living partnership to Christ. And because he stands, I will never perish." I wrote these words after that illustration. These are mine. I'm not standing because of a spike that was driven in the ice. But Brother Rick, I'm standing because of a spike that was driven in that hand, and in that hand, and in those feet. I am in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus said he was in the Father. I believe this morning the question would be warranted, where do you stand today? Do you stand in Christ, or do you stand in trouble? Brother Mays Jackson, going along with what I said a while ago, and I believe it should be this way. If we don't see eye to eye on this doctrine, that should never keep us from loving one another. Never. That'd be a bad mistake. Amen. Because if we're in Christ, we're brothers and sisters. Listen to me. We don't see eye to eye on baptism. We're in Christ. We're brothers and sisters. Amen. But I have watched God deal with hearts, and I'm still praying. This man that I spoke to, he told me that I think we agreed, or he agreed, that one of his major concerns was going, he felt like he was going against the teachings of his mother and his father. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't think that's anything to be taken lightly. But I will say this. If there ever comes a day when we look at tradition and want to hold on to that, and we look at the Word of God and it's different than that, I think we'd be wise to go with the Word of God. Brother Mays had a friend years ago. They were both preachers. He was a Nazarene preacher. A Nazarene didn't believe that a person was saved forever. It depended largely upon how that he lived this life. Brother Mays did believe that a man was saved forever, that the Nazarene actually believed that a man could live sanctified to the point that he lived above sin, that he didn't sin. That's what he believed. One day he said to Brother Mays, he said, "Mays," he said, "you're sanctified and don't know it." Mays turned and looked at that man, that Nazarene preacher. He said, "Yeah, bless God, you're saved forever and don't know it too." In other words, they were still friends. They were still pointing people to Calvary, though they had a difference in their doctrine. And I could not this morning, with a clear conscience to my Heavenly Father, go around this verse of Scripture. Verily, verily. Look at it with me, please. In chapter number 5, verily, verily, verse 25, I say unto you, no, verse 24, I'm sorry. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed. What's those next words say? Back to what Brother Aaron said. He said, a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. In order for me to be lost, I would have to pass from life unto death. I believe there's examples in the Bible where if it could have ever happened, that should have been what was portrayed. Paul was saying, we're not of them that believe go back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I don't know this morning. You could take this subject. You could go and go and go and go. My prayer is this morning, I've been a help to someone. It's not about holding on to a peg on the side of the ark. It's about being in the ark. About being in Christ Jesus. Let's bow for prayer.